Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
CNBC's Big January continues with the JPM Healthcare Conference, the Amex Golf Tournament, Inauguration Day, and the World Economic Forum in Davos. Get ahead of the game. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Lamar is the most electric guy in the league right now. The shiftiness, the play extension, he's second to none in that regard. He's got an arm that's a cannon, and each week you just see a highlight by him. So I don't think anybody really compares to him right now.
Mainly low lights when he plays the Steelers. 15-minute mark on the Fan brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram and Peters. We are coming to you live from Mike's Beer Bar, the site of our big Christmas Bash karaoke event tonight. Pat Freiermuth scheduled to appear. We have one of our loyal listeners, Peyton, studying our every move here. He's an aspiring broadcaster at Point Park, Malzi. Did you do that with the broadcasters you wanted to emulate when you were older, when you were his age?
No.
No.
No, because I never had
any...
You
had no muse. You had nobody that was...
The person I listened to the most growing up was, by orders of magnitude, Thor Tolo.
What happened to Thor?
I think he went up and did work in Cleveland for a while.
Did he look at that as like a step up? Like he left...
Like a lateral step, I think.
Was he forced out?
I don't remember how it ended for him. I just remember Thor could always get my mom, of all people, very fired up. She'd be listening to him like after dinner doing sports talk, and she would just get very...
Among the hosts at the station now, who is Thor Tolo most like in terms of style and personality?
You.
Really?
Yeah.
So does your mom get fired up from listening to me?
Occasionally.
Really?
Occasionally.
Wow.
I mean, I think I've like explained to them like what the business really is, though, and like...
You tell them how the sausage is made?
A little bit, yeah. I think my parents are most entertained by, like, the Richie Walsh show sports calls that I do. Because Richie sometimes is doing avant-garde painting on that show.
Oh, it's
an adventure with Richie. It's a roller coaster that doesn't actually have a defined track.
Lamar Jackson is 1-4 against the Steelers, and the numbers are atrocious. Mm-hmm. And they were worse. It went from bad to worse against them a few weeks ago when they played here.
Yep.
I have a confession, though.
You think he's going to have a good game?
I do. And I don't know what's happened to me. I don't know what's infiltrated my body or my mind that has me saying it. The one thing that I heard this morning when I was driving around going to the gym, when I was listening to the morning guys, that I think was maybe my epiphany on it, was something that they said, and I knew this, but I hadn't really thought about it. They've never played him twice in one season.
He's either been hurt,
or they haven't,
or they've
the game,
had
so they
they've
rested.
Not needed the game because overall he's been so great that they've been in a comfy position.
And I know I've said before in a very like braggadocious way, like we look down on him because he stinks against us, that I'm not going to predict him to have a good game against the Steelers until it actually happens.
Mm-hmm.
But the other part of this game for me defensively for the Steelers coming off the Eagles game and what Jalen Hurts did,
mm-hmm.
I am alarmed by, and I said I did not want to make too much of that game, but the one thing that is sticking in my craw is this. I am concerned by how bad the defense looked when you subtracted two guys who I think are useful players, but I don't think are by any means great players, and those two guys are Deshaun Elliott and Larry Ogunjobi. And I think with Ogunjobi, it's the drop-off from him to a scrub named Dean Lowry, who I don't think, if we're playing a game of can you name every Steeler on the 53-man roster.
Dean Lowry is going to be a terrific immaculate grid submission in a couple years.
Just to, who would the team be that he played for before this one? Minnesota?
Did he get run for them?
I don't know why that's in my head, but I think
well,
Dean
now
Lowry,
we've got to do a quick
Steelers
10-second Dean Lowry. Dean Lowry actually has lingered like a stale fart in the NFL. Green Bay, then Minnesota, then the Steelers. So okay. Dean Lowry right this second could be a very good immaculate grid.
And then Elliott, man, has just been kind
he's
of
been
a game changer for them.
He's
dude.
Been for them. He's been he was brought in on a role player kind of salary in agreement, like short-term contract for pretty middling to small amount of money. He's played like a borderline star. I mean, he's been super decisive, too, at tackling, which was the thing that hurt them the most in Philly. They couldn't tackle.
I actually want to do something right now. I want to issue you a heartfelt apology.
Uh-oh.
Because I feel like...
You don't like apologies, for the record. You're not like somebody who really believes in the concept or value of them.
Yeah, because I don't think that an apology should
It doesn't
just...
wipe away what you did.
Yeah.
Hey, I punched you in the face because I got mad. I'm sorry. I think they're much more well-served for kids. But you want to issue me one that's heartfelt?
The heartfelt apology is I find myself doing exactly what you did before the last game, and I ripped you for it.
Which was
you predicting that Lamar was going to have a big game, and I railed against it saying, there's no way, it's never happened before. Why would you say it's going to happen? Why would you predict it when we've never seen it before?
Mm-hmm.
And now here I am saying I think he's going to have a good game. So I apologize now. So you, by all means, if you want, unload on me and call me whatever name you want, or say I'm an idiot for.
It's not as fun when I have your permission to rip you beforehand. I want to make that decision on my own. I mean, the law of averages suggests that a guy that has been this good against the rest of the league just eventually. Like, I understand that the Steelers have a role in making him play poorly. It's not just a guy going ice cold in the NBA. From three-point range specifically, they have a scheme that makes it tougher for him. But law of averages is eventually he's going to get loose and make the plays. It could have happened in the game they won with Pickett, 17-10. If his receivers catch the ball, they might win that game somewhat comfortably, the Ravens. The two times in 1 year that they have never seen him twice in a season, it is interesting because the one thing he's never gotten to do against them, therefore, is get on like sort of a roll or like get into a rhythm playing against that defense.
Or
it's been very scattered and staggered.
So I was going to say the opposite, like play them and then make adjustments.
Well, that's what I mean, though. When I say that, like when I say get on a roll, it's okay. This didn't work 5 weeks ago when we played them. I'm back. Let's do things that are going to counter that. They've not had to.
Doran said it's a different animal for that reason, and the take kind of resonated with me, actually, and made me feel like, uh-oh.
So what are the I'm trying to think of some of the things they typically do against him that you could probably scheme for or adjust. They love to force him to his right or to his left. The one thing that they didn't do against Philly, just as a sidebar, when we're talking adjustments, we always hear that one of the pieces of secret sauce or not so secret sauce is they send a guy sprinting straight at him and force him to give up the ball or make a very fast decision on his own read. Did they not do that with Jalen Hurts? Because man, it looked like Hurts was just doing whatever the hell he wanted back there on some of those zone read plays.
I'm not saying that the way that they strategized and bottled up Jackson, and I think he gets gun shy of running against them because he knows he's going to get hit so much. And I also think like constantly in his head, he's thinking that he needs to be
terrific.
I do think he feels at this point in his career. That not only does he have to win games, but winning games with his arm is what he wants to do to show people that he really is a upper crust quarterback, like one of the best. So I do think that the Steelers' strategy, but also the way like he's hell bent on beating them, plays into their favor. one thing that they benefited immensely from in the game that I was at earlier in the year was that Henry fumbled very early on, and then Harbaugh removed him from the game like an idiot.
Especially in the fourth quarter, just completely nullified him.
Right.
They didn't have to do anything to stop him. He didn't touch the ball.
And so let's say the Steelers, not like in terms of schematics, but let's say their overall philosophy in this game is the same thing as it was against the Eagles,
yep.
Which is let's make sure the running back doesn't beat us.
Okay.
If they want to beat us through the air, that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to sell out to stop the read option and specifically stop Derrick Henry. Okay. Do I think Lamar Jackson, who has 34 touchdowns and 3 interceptions against a beaten-up secondary with Deshaun Elliott probably out and Dante Jackson banged up, do I think that it's conceivable that he has a good game against them in that situation where he throws it 25 times? I can't believe I'm saying this, but I actually do. So I actually lied to you on Monday. There is some residue left over from the Eagles game, even though I tried to downplay it as a game that really shouldn't.
It's a pretty similar offense. Well, the Eagles' offense isn't similar. I don't want to say that. But the basic principles
of a dual-threat quarterback.
Dual-threat quarterback, great running back. And I know Flowers is not A.J. Brown, nor is he really close. I think A.J. Brown is still one of the best receivers in the league. But Flowers is on an upward trajectory. Here's the other thing. And I think even staunch like...
By the way, you haven't answered the question yet. Do you think that their run of dominance will continue against Lamar?
I think Lamar's going to have the best game he's played against them. I don't know how good that game will look because I am giving some deference to their ability to slow him down. I think he's going to have statistically the most impressive game he's had. That probably foretells a loss, though. Like, because usually they win these close games or he plays poorly. If he plays as well as I'm suggesting, they'll probably lose. I would just say this, though, about that first matchup. I don't know one person, even people who think he gets a bad rap, an unfair rap against the Steelers, felt like he played well. Everyone acknowledged, did not play a good game. And yet, think about how close that game was, what it came down to, and what didn't go right for them. Tucker was missing field goals. Peyton Wilson makes one of the great plays you will see on defense in the entire NFL this year. Henry fumbled, which did change the calculus. And their doofus coach didn't give him the ball one time in the fourth quarter. And it was a two-point game that came down to, like, Peasy Jr. making a great play on a two-point conversion.
The common denominator every time they played against them, or played against him, is that he turns the ball over, or they do. Right? I mean, that's the
yes.
even the game he won against the Steelers.
He had a bunch of turnovers.
He had
in
three
that
interceptions, and thank God they were playing Duck Hodges.
Thank God for Marlon Humphrey, who made the play that probably saved that game for
yes.
them.
Isn't that the game where Mason Rudolph's face mask was
yes.
off?
Earl Thomas hit him so hard that they had to cut the face
and the
mask
cart
off.
Broke,
and so they had to take a man who could barely stand on his own off the field with that like vacant look on his face.
Oh my
yes.
God. By the way, he's starting on.
The Will Levis era is officially at an end. You know, when Mason got hit like that by Thomas, that's the closest I've come to thinking a guy died because he got hit so hard in a football game. Like I thought because he fell like a sack of flour. Like he did not. He went full motionless immediately. But
it's
yes,
just the image of him walking away
like
with his
this
face
though, like,
mask
it,
off.
Like he looks like he had like 20 beers. Did you get knocked out by a punch or a hit, or did you have 20 beers? Who could say? You're right though. They turn the ball over. They do. It's a common denominator. And then I think those turnovers, especially if they happen early in the game, I think that one thing that I believe to be real. And you've said this a lot about him. I think all of that stuff for Lamar, as good as he is, as mentally tough as he is, I think when it happens against the Steelers, it wears on him more than it does in other games because you know what it is? It's like that old, here we go again.
It's a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Here's another one. Like, compare it to this really quickly. Like, when the Steelers would play the Patriots with Brady, even if the Steelers were having a good game, if one little thing started to go wrong, you'd
uh-oh.
Go, here we go again. Or when the Pirates would play the Cardinals from 13 to 15, they could win the first two games of a series. If the Cardinals, like, battered them in the last game, oh, boy, they sent that message, here we go again next time we see them. I think that's what it is for Lamar sometimes.
AB has been communicating with the show over Rob Pratt's comments from KDK AM. Pratt saying that the Steelers need to sign AB because their wide receiver room is in such peril, and AB could also be a good mentor figure.
Mm-hmm.
To George Pickens, and AB has said, no, I would be the number one wide receiver in that room. Charlie, do you have the audio of Pratt talking about this?
No, not yet.
Well, I don't think we'll get it because you said it's just horrible, right? He, like, did it from his living room, and there was
an episode
of Matlock playing in the background.
Pratt strikes me as more of a Columbo guy. Just one more thing.
He had, like, you know how local channels have, like, HD2 and HD3 channels?
Yes.
And, like, some of those channels just play westerns and TV shows from the 1950s.
Like, on the radio, you mean?
No.
Oh, okay. Oh, HD2 and HD3 and TV.
Yeah,
okay,
like Cozy
radio.
TV and all these.
Oh, yeah. Like, they play, like, Gunsmoke reruns or whatever.
Pratt strikes me as a guy that would just love that program.
I'm willing to bet that if somebody had an... Because there's HD2...
Do you agree with that, T-Bird?
Yeah, he might be watching MASH right now.
So, well, that's from the 70s, T-Bird. I mean, you got to go further back than that.
I know, but still, that was a good line.
My thing with Pratt is he strikes me as somebody that, because our radio stations now have HD2 and HD3 kind of things too that play different content.
Yeah.
If there was one that played the old, because T-Bird, I'm sure, knows this, he's an audio geek, played the old radio serials that sometimes got ported over to television, I can imagine Pratt just hearing Gunsmoke on the radio, like a radio acted show like that, and just being in heaven, man.